This is Christy Grainer, and I want to welcome you to the Dare to Believe podcast, where we are interviewing some of our friends about how they have dared to believe God in their life for great things and how He has been faithful to them. We want to challenge you to dare to believe God in your life. So I'm here in the studio with the one, the only Christy Grainer. Hello, Christy.
Hi, Rebecca.
And you have an exciting announcement for us.
I do. We are combining forces and partnering with Brian Fenimore and Plumline Ministries to have a ministry school that is bringing forth people with a prophetic voice in a healthy way, and we are excited about it.
No way. That sounds amazing.
Yep. We call it Emerge, and people can apply online if they look at our website, and we would love to have them come.
What is the one thing you think people walk away with?
From the school?
From the school.
That God loves them and they can hear God.
That was two things, but we'll take it. So if you're interested in the Merge School of Transformation, please go to our website, daretobelieve.info. That's dare, the number two, believe.info. And check out all the information there and apply.
Are you going to be there, Rebecca?
Oh, I'll be there.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, this is Christy Grainer. I'm here at Dare to Believe with Teresa Liebscher and Deborah Enomoto, Deborah Havens Enomoto. And we just finished a great advanced SOZO training and had a couple days together, and we're sitting down to just talk about the Lord and what He's done in these guys' lives. So hi, Deborah. Hi, Teresa.
Hi there.
Hello.
And we are trying to keep Teresa on track because there's some kind of baseball game going on tonight. What is the baseball
basketball
game?
Basketball.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a basketball game
going
on.
There is baseball, and I am not watching baseball, but there is an important basketball game on tonight.
Okay.
And I'll just keep it at that, and we can wonder who I'm for.
Okay. Teresa loves sports.
I love sports. All right. I'm a sports spectator.
All right. So we are glad to sit down and just talk about the Lord and how He has blessed you guys and how you've dared to believe in your lives and what kind of things you've seen. And if you are not familiar with Deborah Enomoto and Teresa Liebscher, they are from Bethel in Reading. And Teresa is one of the founders of the SOZO ministry at Bethel. And Deborah has been involved for how many years, Deborah?
Many, since 2004.
Since 2004, okay.
She was my very first intern.
Oh, is that right?
She was. She's the one that forced me to be administrative and organizational.
And
I like seat of my pants, and she still lets me do seat of my pants, but she created this organized person here. She likes to say I was better organized than I think, but she's nodding. You can't nod.
You were very organized. You were administrative, but you just didn't want to do it. Tell the truth.
That's probably she forced me. But whatever, you forced me.
It's good for you.
So you guys have been ministering together for about 14 years.
Yeah.
That's quite a friendship, isn't it? That's
yes.
Good. So let's start with talking about you, Teresa, and you know, you've been involved with Bethel for a long, long time.
I say I'm a pre-Bill person.
You're pre-Bill Johnson Bethel.
Yes.
Okay.
Pre-Bill Johnson.
And for those of you that recognize the name Liebscher, Teresa is also the mother of a very well-known Liebscher, Banning, who is in charge of or the founder of Jesus Culture. So that happened way after Bill, right?
I think he was telling me the other day they're actually going to celebrate their 20th year anniversary. They're doing a big blowout in the basketball stadium in Sacramento.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
California. So yeah, he's getting all kinds of speakers and all kinds of things, but they're celebrating 20 years of ministry this year.
So you and your husband, Larry, moved to Reading because he was in the police force?
Yeah, he was a police officer, and he applied to all these different agencies, and Reading was the only one that offered him a job. So that's how we actually got to Reading.
Okay, and his career then was in Reading.
Yes. Well, he had 2 years north of San Francisco.
Okay.
And then he spent 32 years of police work in Redding.
Okay.
But we've lived in Redding for 45.
Oh, wow. 45 years.
Yep.
And so as you live there, you belong to church, and you were a Christian, but a very wounded woman, and you didn't realize what all was going on, but the Lord had better things for you, right?
He definitely had a more healthier, normal life was where he headed me and than where I was. Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, I think it would be interesting for people to hear. I mean, I don't know how long Bill and Benny Johnson have been at Bethel. You probably do.
I think they're getting close to 25 years.
Okay.
At Bethel.
And so for people to hear about what church was like maybe before Bill and Benny came, can you describe what the church was like?
Well, it's really interesting. It was an Assemblies of God church. So there was the, you know, raising of hands. There wasn't the, you know, there was tongues and raising of hands. There wasn't the weird manifestations that are now associated, you know, with the crunching and the ooing and the awing and all that. But
can you describe more of that for somebody who wouldn't know what?
Yeah, I know.
What do you mean, crunching and
the
ooing?
The crunching. And here again, it is. I don't know. You can help here, Deborah, of the, you know, like the crunching is when you're. Here again, any way I'm going to word this, it's going to sound weird. When the Holy Spirit comes on people at times, the body cannot contain and hold all that the Holy Spirit wants to do in those certain times.
And so there's a reaction.
So there's a physical reaction, and we label that.
Thing.
It's a spiritual reaction, and we label that a manifestation.
Okay.
And stuff.
And it's a good manifestation.
It's not the bad manifestations.
Okay.
But it's the good manifestations because, you know, like you say, the Holy Spirit comes with you, and you physically can't contain all that he does.
Okay, so at that time, the Holy Spirit was welcome and was recognized, but wasn't necessarily, the things weren't happening.
Things weren't happening. Okay. There wasn't really necessarily an inviting and a welcoming of the presence of the Lord.
Okay.
And when Bill came, that was definitely something he pursued and went after, is creating an atmosphere where the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, their presence was actually welcomed, and an environment was set up to do that.
So what were you and your husband's impressions of Bill and Benny when they first came? Did you feel good about it? Were you not too sure what you were supposed to think?
That was part of the kind of at that interesting place of my healing process. So for me, this whole presence of the Lord and the manifestations and Bill Johnson and Benny scared me. And stuff. So I was kind of one of those that was uneasy. I wasn't like against it or any of that kind of thing, but it was just kind of like uneasy. And what exactly is this, you know, going on?
Because it was so different than when we came
together. It is really different. And we had come from a Baptist, a conservative Baptist, where if you raise your hand, you're inviting the demons to take possession of you.
Oh.
And now we're coming into this AG kind of church, and Bill is going, yeah, we're going to welcome all of this. And it's kind of like just even raising hands for us at Bethel was kind of like, oh, okay. But it was much more of a freer place here again that I was used to. And you know, and you'd be reading in the Bible certain things in the other churches, and it wasn't making sense. And then you came to Bill and were listening to him, and it was like, oh, you know, and, you know, because so many of the churches change the wording of their songs or change or put different meanings on certain things that are said in the Bible. And it just always kind of confused me. And then Bill came, and it was like, oh, that was kind of making a little bit, here again, more sense.
So and even back then, Bill had the ability to describe the Word of God and what the Lord was up to in sound ways, but that just really...
Oh, yeah.
He just has a gift that way.
He does. He does have this amazing gift of... Mm-hmm. of
He's revelatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is. Mm-hmm. He very is revelatory. And but he presents it in such a very plain, common, practical way. Because a lot of times people who do the revelatory, it's way up here, mm-hmm. and it's spiritual and it's way over your head.
And intense.
And Bill doesn't have that. He doesn't carry that. It's just a very, very practical, very down to earth. You still sit and listen to him going, okay, whoa, wait a minute, what did he just say? And it, you feel like it can go over your head, but it's not going over your head. You're just, your spirit is just processing.
Yeah, he has a way of being very powerful without being terribly intense in the natural.
For some people, he's threatening, but if you actually listen to him, mm-hmm. he is not threatening. Mm-mm. At all.
And so you had a history of a pretty unhealthy, dysfunctional background that you kind of like shut down and moved on with life.
Yeah.
And so you were married and had a couple children, and then the Lord began to move, and then what happened to you? You weren't able to quite hide all that
stuff. I wasn't quite able. Well, and here again... That probably is unsettling for a lot of people too, because with the presence of the Lord, when the presence of the Lord shows up, you're going to have an encounter. Something is going to happen, and you can't keep things hidden anymore. And as much as you try, because it's Father God's heart that you don't have to hide, that you don't have to hide behind all of the protections that we put up. And that's not Father God's heart for us. And so when you create an atmosphere and you invite his presence, something's going to have to mm-hmm. change. Either you're going to have to leave his presence or you're going to have to change. And
when I hear you tell your story, Teresa, what I'm touched by is there was a lot of healing going on, a lot of change going on, but the Lord was very honoring and gentle and loving with you, but always helped you and encouraged you and nurtured you to continue in your healing. So it took a while, didn't it?
Well, yeah, it did take a while because I had to continually make a decision on a regular basis that I was going to keep on going forward, that I was going to keep on going forward, which was actually kind of hard and difficult to do, no mm-hmm. matter what your healing process is or no matter what your background is because to keep going forward means you have to keep looking at yourself. You have to start making decisions. You know, am I going to let this go? Am I actually going to risk and go in this direction of being healed? And it's harder to be healthy. It's harder to be healed than it is to be unhealed. It's easier to be unhealed. I mean, I talk about it even in the physical. It's a lot easier to be unhealed or to not
to
eat
be
healthy
yeah.
or, you know, to go to McDonald's because it takes a lot more work. It takes a lot more energy. And you actually can spend more money by getting organic food and cooking it properly and the cleanup instead of just going to McDonald's and driving through and paying $1 for a hamburger. And I don't have to do the cleanup. I don't have to do exercise. And it takes more time and effort to exercise. And it also takes more time and effort to really learn how to handle stress properly mm-hmm. and not allow stress to damage your body, soul, and spirit. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot more work. And so it's obviously a lot easier to be unhealthy in the physical, but it's definitely a lot easier to be unhealthy emotionally and spiritually. And when you make a commitment and you have to continue to make a decision, just like with the physical, I have to at times go, no, I'm going to stay. I'm going to keep eating right. I'm still going to exercise. You have to do that emotionally and spiritually too.
Okay. So there was a cost to getting healthier and there was a cost
yes.
to getting healed for you. Would you say that it was worth it?
I will say it's worth it in this regard, in the fact that I am not ever going to go back to the way I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so the cost of continuing to go forward can be a big cost, but I never want to go back to where I was. I never want to pay the cost to be unhealthy again.
And I think you hear a lot of people say things like that when they've gone through something that is difficult, that has brought them to a better place, that it was hard. I would never want to go through it again.
No, I don't ever want to go through it. And I don't want anybody else to go through it either. But
I don't want to go back to where I was before I went through this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And would you say that you always had choices along the way? The Lord, would he have loved you the same whether you had stayed broken and wounded, or whether you had pressed in for the healing? Would his love for you have changed either way?
His love would not have changed for me, but I would not have been able to avail myself of everything he has for me.
Okay.
But when you're unhealthy, you also don't know and understand that he will continue to love you the same. Because here again, for me, I had to actually go through the process of getting healthy to learn that he is going to love me no matter what, because I would do things and find out, oh, he's not going to punish me when I was expecting him to punish me, or I did things and thought he would push me away and not allow me in his lap or whatever. And he would always would. And when I expected him not to, when I expected him to be mad at me, when I expected him to punish me, and I kept finding out that he wouldn't. And so that, you know, but that was, you know, here again, that was part of the cost and part of the risk of continuing to push forward and risking finding that information out. And I know a lot of people have a hard time with that because they can't afford the risk in which, here again, to do it. But I just knew I had to keep going forward. I wasn't going to go back. And if I lost a bunch of friends, if I lost ministry, if I lost a bunch of stuff, I was willing to pay that cost. I mean, I lost friends. I didn't pay the cost of the ministry, but I did lose friends. But I was willing to pay the cost because mm-hmm. I wasn't going to go back. Yeah. I couldn't pay that cost.
So what I hear you saying is, when you're broken and wounded, God's love for you is just as strong, and his love for you never changes, but our ability to accept his love changes as we get healthier,
yes.
as we get stronger,
yes.
as we learn to know him in a more accurate way.
Yeah. Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And that was over 25 years ago that you began on that journey, or 25 years ago or so.
I guess it was. I'd have to hear again, think about it, because the, yeah. 18, and then 10. Yeah,
so can 25. You tell us how Sozo Ministry started? I mean, how did Sozo become Sozo?
How did Sozo become Sozo?
And why the name Sozo? And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Somebody's asked me that today. I actually can't remember the details of how it got to be called Sozo nowadays. We just celebrated, last year in November, we just celebrated 20 years of anniversary with the ministry. And so for the 6 months before that, I was doing a lot of going down memory lane, finding old photographs and talking to the original members of the team and having us go down memory lane. And none of us can really remember how it got called Sozo. In 97, the first time Randy Clark came, who's a healing evangelist, he would send somebody out to teach the congregation how to be prayer servants. And an hour and a half of that training ended up being our first tool. And the other leader of the ministry, Donna Da Silva, she and a friend started using the tools on the prayer line, and the one tool on the prayer line, and it was successful.
And what was that tool?
We call it the four doors.
Okay.
And Bethel leadership heard about it and brought us in and said, hey, you know, show us what you do. And then they said, yeah, start a ministry. And so we never thought it would leave Bethel, much less Reading, and actually end up being what it is today. We just started doing it and trained a team, and the team started doing it on Friday nights, and people started hearing about it and started coming to Bethel
The fruit was good. People were getting freed and
healed and delivered.
People
were getting freed and they wanted to know how.
Yeah, in the Greek which is the original language of the Bible, sozo means saved, healed, and delivered. And so people were being saved and healed and delivered.
It actually means to be made whole.
To be made whole.
The translators translate it. Sometimes they translated it saved, sometimes they translated it healed, and sometimes they translated it delivered. So it's the translators that did the saved, healed, and delivered, which is actually a very fascinating word study. If you don't want me to go in that direction, well, you need to stop me, because to actually do a word study on sozo is very fascinating, and because there's other words for saved, other words for healed, and other words for delivered. So when Jesus actually uses that word sozo, because he has, like the 10 lepers, he physically healed 9 of them. He only sozoed 1. And here again, there's lots of different examples that I can tell. We don't have to, here again, go down that road either. But it's actually in a very interesting word study as to when Jesus actually uses the word sozo and stuff. So
you begin using it in the congregation. It grew from there because people were getting healed and made whole. And there was a lot of good fruit coming from that. And
word of mouth went out very quickly.
And it grew from there and went around the United States. It went internationally. Now, how big is sozo right now?
We're in about 80 countries. We have crossed all denominational lines. We've crossed all cultural lines. So we're in about 80% of the countries. One of the reasons I'm hesitating with that number is because it just keeps growing. Mm-hmm. People are starting sozo ministries here again all over the world. And I have about 60 released teachers, and they're going to all these different locations, and people are going and doing ministry and all these, and I hear about them, kind of like later on and stuff. So, but here again, we do know we've crossed all denominational lines. All denominations have a sozo team and sozo ministry in all of the different denominations and all of the different cultures.
That is such good fruit from the ministry.
Yeah.
I know that sozo is a Greek word. Anybody can use that Greek word. So sozo is used by some ministries that aren't necessarily at all associated with what you're doing. So when people would want to have a healthy sozo ministry, we'd want them to look for Bethel Sozo.
Bethel. Yeah. And there are still some ministries that are calling themselves Bethel Sozo that aren't even connected to us.
Mm.
So I actually recommend that you go to our website, BethelSozo.com, underneath Sozo Network, underneath Regional Facilitators, because I have regional facilitators all around the world, and contact the regional facilitator that covers your area or is closer to you, and actually contact them to find out about Bethel Sozo Ministries that are connected to us.
And those are people you have confidence in. You have confidence to lead individuals to someone who will do a healthy
version
of sozo.
The regional facilitators are people that have straight relationship with Donna and I.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know the regional facilitators. And then the regional facilitators are responsible for the sozo teams underneath them. Because we don't know all of those, because there's hundreds and hundreds of them now. And we don't know the people who are leading that, but my regional facilitators do.
Mm-hmm.
And I have relationship with the regional facilitators. So that's why I'm sending people to regional facilitators. If for some reason you can't find a regional facilitator, then feel free to email me, because I also have what I call points of contacts in some of the countries that don't have regional facilitators yet. So I can still get you connected to people that have relationship with us that I know and I trust.
And if people want to email you, they could come through Dare to Believe, and we can give them your email address.
You can do that, or you can go to the website and hit contact us.
Okay.
I don't know if it's contact or contact us, and email will be sent to me.
And the thing about Bethel Sozo, I've experienced it for so many years. I know that it is a very healthy, strong thing, that you do believe in biblical methods of healing. It is very biblically based, and there are some counterfeits of Bethel Sozo that are not healthy. But, you know, the enemy only counterfeits what's good. Any counterfeiter only counterfeits what's valuable. And it's a very valuable, very healthy ministry. And we do see counterfeits, so we acknowledge that. But there is a really pure thing, a beautiful thing, a healthy thing that is worth going after.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I was telling the people today, I'm prejudiced. Mm-hmm. I'm prejudiced that the Bethel Social Ministry is a very fruitful and valid ministry. I'm not arrogant enough to believe we're the only inner healing ministry that is fruitful and viable. But I am prejudiced. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to ask me, I'm going to tell you Bethel Soso. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Deborah, you came on 14 years ago. So tell us about your journey to Bethel. How did you end up at Bethel in Reading? And
well, my goodness. I got involved with a AG church, and the lady who was very active there became like my spiritual mom.
And you were on the East Coast, right?
I was on the East Coast, yep. And it was Calvary Christian in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Well, she came out of the New Age. She was very prominent in the New Age, and the Lord visited her and changed her life. Well, hearing her testimony gave me the guts to trust God.
You dared to believe God.
I dared to believe God. And because she was pretty instrumental in my deliverance, I'd say that, she was also one that prayed me into Bethel, into the school of ministry there. She had shared a video of Bill Johnson doing a healing conference in Utica, New York. And I says, I want that.
And what was it about Bill that you, what was it that you saw that drew you in?
Well, as soon as I saw it, I felt the presence. So I knew he carried the presence. And I felt, wow, this is the real deal. This guy is genuine. This is not a push him over, let's have fun. This is a guy who really loves the Lord. And I felt it. And I thought, this guy's, he's the real deal. So I thought, you know, I want that. I want that. This God, I want that. So that's my entrance into the Bethel world.
So you packed up and moved to California.
I did. I was one of those crazy people who sold their house and and left. Yeah. And God's timing was perfect. He organized everything perfectly and got me out here to California. So it was kind of fun. And he tied me in with just the right people at the right time. He's done this now my entire journey. And he has always made sure that I had the right mentor in the right area of hunger I was at and the right measure of healing. And he just brought the right people at the right time.
So you went through the ministry school, 3 years of it?
I did, all three.
3 years, okay. Mm-hmm. And in the third year, you were Teresa's intern.
Teresa. I worked with Teresa and Donna doing sozos. I did 5 a day. And man, did I get some practice. But it was fun. It was a real enjoyment. We did our Friday nights volunteer team, and I just remember the camaraderie of the team and having prayer sessions, and Holy Spirit would just drop, and we'd just get crazy and just have so much fun. And then the afterwards, it was like just glory in what he did and how he touched his kids and the difference he made in people's lives. And it was just amazingly transforming and captured my heart, never to go back. It was quite the time.
And then you went on staff at Bethel.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. I came on doing some database stuff at that time. And
had you done computer work before?
I did.
Okay.
So I was a software consultant for quite a few years.
Okay.
And then I got into project management. And then I got to Bethel.
Okay.
And they used my skills there for certain projects. And
you're still doing some of that for them, but not as much.
Yeah, some. I do a little bit of SQL stuff, and I stay a little bit on that end of the brain. But I'm excited about what God's doing everywhere all over the world. And it's fun to have your fingers in both technology and non-technology. And it's just, it's revelatory, you know, to be able to use. I use the Lord even in work, you know, for database stuff. I mean, he drops in solutions for things.
So tell us more about that. What does that look like?
A person will come in with a need, and there'll be a need for a query to get some data out. Well, I'm sitting there not being an expert in SQL, but knowing how to find the right answers, but I'm stumped, like stump the chump. I go to bed and I'm saying, Lord, you know, I need help with this and I can't get it. I don't know what to do. And the next morning in the shower, he drops in this thought of how to join some tables. And it's like, wow, I didn't think about that. Well, I got to work and I tried it and it worked. Slick. He does things like that.
He makes you look good.
He makes me look so good. It's so smart. And then he does things just instantaneous, just sitting there thinking, oh, I got this problem. Lord, I don't know where to go. And he drops in an idea. Check this out. Bam, there is the answer. He does it all the time.
So do you think that anybody in business or any kind of anywhere in their life can have that kind of access to solutions?
Absolutely.
You just have to ask.
My prayer is that everybody would have a relationship with God because he is the one. He's got all the answers on every realm, every dimension. He's got it. I don't care what you're doing. He's got it.
So how did you learn first that you could hear God? I mean, that's pretty cool. I love it, and I agree. I mean, we at Dare to Believe strongly that people can hear God. But tell us how that journey went for you when you realized, wow, this is God giving me these ideas and speaking to me.
You know, I can't remember the very first time, but I'm looking back, even as a child, I had always heard him and didn't know it. My mother told me I had intuition. And looking back, though, that was God all the time. Mm. He had his hand on me even when I was a child. And what was interesting, I should have been really demonized. I mean, really demonized. I mean, I had my issues, but I mean, I should have really been out there.
Because
when you read the Bible, and it talks about all these divinators and all that, and they had all these demons inside because they were involved with all this stuff.
So you're involved in some unhealthy spiritual stuff.
Oh my gosh, I had dabbled in so much stuff. Mm. Ah. And I was reading a book. It was published by Randy Hill, his very first book. And I went through that book, and I got to that one chapter. And I says, Lord, why? How come I wasn't demonized like that? And he instantly gave me a picture inside my mind. He showed me a picture of me as a kid. I'd be laying on a rock as a child. I used to walk the neighborhood, and I was alone a lot. And I would walk the neighborhood and lay on this rock and look up at the sky and talk to Jesus. And he said to me, I remember. That's what he said. Whoa. Wrecked me.
So he knows us. Every moment of our life.
So when you know that, that's an experience that nothing can steal away. Mm-hmm. And that's a revelation to let you know he sees everything. Mm. And not only that, he talks all the time. I remember being really, really sick. And I thought, I'm going to be cashing out tonight. I just felt like I'm going to die tonight. I got on my little bony knees. And I'm talking to him, and I'm saying, Lord, if this is gonna happen, you know, I'm all good with that. There's anything I need to take care of. And he told me, he says, you're going to be all right. It's like, ah. And that was a voice I heard inside. Okay, got it. Not long, just, I went to bed that night, and the next morning I got up, I was well. How did that work? I don't know, but he does. He brings that. Oh, I can just tell you, there's a whole bunch of stuff that he's done. And he talks all the time. He whispers things. It's like I was prayer walking when I was in the school of ministry in first year. And I used to live in Shasta Lake City. Well, it's kind of rough in that area where I was living. And I used to walk all over that area and pray walk. And this one night, I started down this one road that I always go down. It's near the playground down there. And he says, nope, don't go down there. I said, oh, okay. So I turned and went down the other way, and I circled around. I got down to the end, and I was going to walk back up, and he says, it's okay. And I walked up. Who knows what was down there? But the point being, he's always protecting us. When we pay attention to that still, small voice, mm-hmm. he totally can steer you out of trouble. Mm-hmm. I've seen it over and over again. He's kept me out of trouble. I can't tell you how many times.
You know, and what I love about that is in John 10, Jesus said, because people can be afraid of hearing the wrong voice. And Jesus said that my sheep follow me because they know my voice, and they won't follow the enemy because they don't know that voice.
That's right.
And so I love that you've learned to hear the Lord's voice and you follow his voice, and you don't have to worry about other spiritual voices because you know the voice of your Lord. That's pretty cool. And now you've traveled with the Sozo team all over the world. You travel a lot with Teresa. You love Teresa. You're a good friend.
I do. We're buds.
Yeah. And so you've got, I mean, where have you traveled with this team? You've gone lots of places.
Switzerland, Germany, UK,
Australia,
Christchurch, New Zealand,
South Africa.
Yeah, South Africa. I think that was probably the furthest one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Canada.
Been to Canada. Mm-hmm. Been all over the United States.
Did you do Singapore?
I did not do Singapore.
Mexico.
I've done Mexico, but not as Sozo team.
Not as Sozo team.
Yeah. We did Hawaii.
Yeah.
We did been to Maui.
You've been to several states.
Lots of states.
You're making Hawaii not, you know, like.
Yep. Yeah.
Well,
Hawaii
also been...
is really its own kingdom.
Well, that is true.
So.
But you're also prejudiced because that's where your husband's from.
Yeah, he's from Maui. He's a Maui boy.
He's a Maui boy.
Yeah, he's a Waui Maui.
So that's why Hawaii can be
a special place.
Can be a special place.
And so as you guys have done so much, and the Lord's done so much, and you both have been healed from pretty rough lives to very fruitful lives, and the peace of the Lord is on you. You release it everywhere, and you just are powerful women of God, both of you. I love that.
Deborah releases energy wherever she goes.
Woohoo! And Teresa has something coming out. She's kind of birthing a new baby soon. A book.
Yes. Not through, a physical baby. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Through Destiny Publishers. Can you tell us about your book that's coming out soon?
Here again, it's got such a long title. I keep forgetting the exact title, but it's Book of Job, A Journey of Inner Healing Through the Book of Job. And I think the Book of Job is an inner healing book and not a suffering book. And I think, here again, without going through the big long spiel, Job and the conversation that Job has with his friends actually mimics very much the conversations that are had in inner healing world of what friends and family are saying and what the person is saying, what the struggling person is saying. And then God shows up and shares his part. and then Job and Father God have a conversation. And part of that conversation is Job understands that he now has firsthand knowledge of God. And then God says that Job is the one that was honest about what Job was saying, about what he was sharing, about how he was feeling about God and the friends and the family and his struggles and stuff. And God says twice that Job is the one that was honest, not the friends. And that started thinking for myself, do I have that honest relationship with God? Do I have, you know, do I have that firsthand knowledge here again of God? Mm-hmm. So that's, in a nutshell, what the book is mm-hmm. about. And it, yeah.
And being real means, I mean, God, we know that God is perfect and God is good and all those things about God, which is all true.
Yeah.
But when we go through life and we're broken and we're wounded and we're hurting, it's very real to be angry at God. And for people to try to hide that is what is not honest
because,
and genuine.
Because you're not being, again, you're not being honest with yourself because God already knows it. God already knows what you think and feel, even the negative stuff, even the anger and the pain and the things that you think you're hiding from everybody else or hiding from yourself or even hiding from God. You're not hiding from God. He already knows it. So you're actually being dishonest with yourself and dishonest with everybody else and dishonest with God. Mm-hmm. But God saw, you know, here Job was being honest and Job was sharing it, and God recognized that and understood that. But Job also said first that he repented for not having firsthand knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't
and
repent.
That's the issue. Yeah.
He didn't repent for what he said, but he repented because he didn't have firsthand knowledge. Mm-hmm. And that's what Father God was showing him in the four chapters. That was the answer that God was saying and giving is firsthand knowledge of him is our answer and stuff. So.
And
yeah.
So if people are interested that, I mean, they are going to be interested, it's mm-hmm. going to be a great book, but the book of Job, something about healing and
yeah,
inner
a
healing
journey.
Journey.
Yeah, here again, I should have probably yeah. somewhere along the line, I can find it, but
through Destiny Publishers.
A journey of inner healing through the book of Job. It's Destiny Publishers.
And Teresa Liebscher's the author.
And you, here again, you'll be able to get it through, you know, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Bethel's store, here again, and that kind. So all the normal channels, you'll be able to get it that way.
And you have some other published and material and CDs and teachings out there, some of it on Sozo. So there's there's CDs and DVDs available if people want to learn to do Sozo ministry.
Right.
There's a Sozo book that you and Donna wrote together.
Yes.
That explains Sozo and pretty far in depth.
Yeah.
People can do training in those things. And you also have a book called Life After Integration that when somebody has a broken spirit, broken heart, like in Isaiah 61, Jesus binds up the brokenhearted. When that process takes place in somebody's life, what's life like after that? Because
like
there's a change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have quite a bit of published works and a lot of CDs as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of teachings, a lot of trainings and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. The Sozo book, you can find, Destiny also published the Sozo book. So you can find that through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The rest of the stuff is going to be through the Bethel store.
Which is Bethel.
Well, no, which is, it's changed now just to Bethel.com.
Bethel.com.
Yeah.
Okay. And they just click on store and they'll
and
find
And they just
you.
Click on store.
Okay.
And then either click on Donna Da Silva or Sozo or Teresa Liebscher and it'll take you to those spots.
Very cool.
Yep.
Well, I would love it if you would both pray for the people who are listening who are hungry for more of the Lord and hungry to hear his voice and hungry to get healing and hungry to trust him even when things are scary and hard. Because you both have walked through that and are living proof that God's faithful in healing. Even when it's hard, it's worth it and he loves you as far as you're willing to trust him, right?
Yeah.
As far as you're willing to go with him. So, Deborah, how about if we start with you? Would you just pray blessings over the listeners? And
yeah, sure. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would send your spirit to each person who's hungering, who has that hunger for more of you. Father, you don't disappoint. You always release the goodness to your children. And Papa, thank you for increasing their awareness of the presence and they would increase the ability to perceive your presence and what you're doing. Thanks, Papa, for releasing goodness, the hope, the joy. And Papa, I ask that you would expand their ability to contain you.
Oh, that's good.
Fill them up, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Bless them with all the goodness that you want to give them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
And Papa, I just want to ask that, just to go along with Deborah, that when your spirit comes, that you will touch all those wounded, broken places in their heart and in their soul and in their spirit, and that you will, that just the spirit being there just heals all of that, and
Come
that
on.
People can start seeing and understanding that sovereign act of God.
That's right.
And that, it, you know, that Papa, our heart is that they don't have to struggle.
That's right.
They don't have to actually even go through what we do.
Instantaneous.
But that instantaneous, that just your spirit will come and here again and do that for them.
Yes.
But you know, Papa, you're the one that's in charge and we just put everything into you and into your lap and Papa, you take care of it. Because you guys, you, Jesus and Holy Spirit, are amazing.
You are.
You're amazing.
Amazing. We love you so much. Thank you, Papa.
Amen. So we have been talking tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this, to Teresa Liebscher and Deborah Enomoto. Thank you both for taking the time.
You bet.
Bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Dare to Believe podcast. If you'd like more information on this podcast or upcoming events, please visit our website at daretobelieve.info. That's dare2believe.info. Thank you and have a great day.